Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse. You brought too many.
show number 1061. Welcome, as we're ready to sit down and get down for 2+ hours with the chefs and your loving mad scientist here at Soul Tree and the Raw. I'm yours, Michael Lewis Ingham, DJ Honeycomb. As always, it is good to be with you on this chilly ass day. Cold spank my tushy. Anyway, Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. I mean, all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. They're soon to be coming up with their own website. Radio Reggie doing his thing in Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hampton Sr. coming out of Detroit with his great show, the African American Athlete Show. Check out Ricky and Mike Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. You will be pleased with what you hear. Brother Man has been doing it over 30 years, and they know everything about sports that needs to be known. Coming with a different perspective as well, so give them an eyeball and an earful. And check out their great website, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. And of course, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, may his tribe increase. We'll come on later on with another edition of Pro Talk, which has been webcast around the universe as we speak. And of course, what we do here with the chefs, and riding shotgun as always, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Novice. Great. What up, Jake?
Don't believe your lying eyes.
Uh-oh. Whose eyes we talking about?
And what I'll say is this. The GOP has lying eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me that this man in the White House did not did a print quote blow. Quid pro quo. Now, what's happening? See, this is where I got caught doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And white people get in the bed and say, well, we can work it out. We'll go to court. We'll talk about it. Okay, fine.
Right.
But when you produce the evidence, but you keep it in the evidence of what's there.
Yep.
And you ignore the evidence.
Yep.
Now we got a problem. I would tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If Donald J. Trump were African American, mm-hmm. he would be underneath the jail. He would be in the jail. He'd be underneath the jail, okay?
Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Now, mm-hmm. this double standard.
Did you say double standard or devil standard?
Yeah, quadruple standard.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm going to bite me in the butt because the evidence is coming out day after day.
That's true. Well, think about this. Because now, the angle is, and this is probably because he managed to get a pat on the back with the Washington Nationals Party. He's taking a sports angle. So he's going to drop in today on the big college game, LSU and Alabama.
Oh, boy.
To my recollect, I don't think this asshole has ever been a fan. But he's never
missed an opportunity
missed an opportunity to shill. And that's why, you know, that's what happens. So, if, and because we say if, the campus warned, or rather the college warned, that there will be no outbursts. Now, you can warn folks, but you're just talking about the students. I'm curious because, is it at LSU or is it at Alabama, G?
It's at Alabama.
Okay, so we know there will be at least 75,000 people in the stands. How are you going to tell 75,000 folks not to say anything? Because you know they put so many students. So many of these folks are coming in for the game. And if somehow a chant of lock him up does come off, what will they do? Because it's a very distinct possibility.
The Alabama Athletic Association said if anybody does anything outrageous, I don't know what outrageous means.
Yeah, right.
They will forfeit their season tickets. Now,
I was going to say.
Because the next home game, the next home game Alabama plays, is a division one lower division team. So in reality, nobody cares. So what they did was they set up a situation where they knew the students were gonna act up anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't matter because this game. The next game they play at home is against an unranked lower division team.
Right.
Nobody cares.
You're right. This is interesting because now, if you're talking about fans forfeiting season tickets, let's just say for argument's sake, Ma Gray had season tickets. And she said, lock them up and or lock him up and started throwing marshmallows or some shit at him. But anyway, the whole point is they're going to tell you that Margaret is going to forfeit her tickets because she was bad. And that's horseshit. Because it's something you can take to small claims court. Because what are you going to try to do to regulate behavior? Especially
well,
if she's throwing marshmallows.
The question is, here we go. Who is Big Brother going to watch on this? Who's writing this down?
Exactly.
Who is getting the ideas of these dudes that are doing it? See, you can't do this.
Exactly right. Yep. That's exactly right. So we got ourselves a bit of a quandary. How are you going to pick out which fans or which people that you can say you're naughty so you don't have your season tickets anymore? Yeah. No. This is going to be something to watch even if you don't like football because we see how he's trying to ride the tail of any political horse he can jump on. You know, what was bad enough with Suzuki and...
Yeah.
Whoever the person was at the Nationals victory party will be even worse on Saturday in front of millions of viewers on TV.
Well,
to see
Michael, I think this is going to blow up because, number one, it's Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And you know how good Alabama is in the first place.
That's right.
So you have the student body. Who is radical? Nobody is radical compared to, say, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all these alumni going to, and this is going to be very interesting, because
right.
You have the alumni going there who are in their 40s or 50s or 60 years old who are not going to say anything at all.
That's true.
You have these kids, 17, 18, 19, they don't care.
The kids don't care, but you're right in saying that there's going to be a lot of alumni and people who are fans who are going to be on the sidelines. I mean, one media person, I believe it was Don Lemon, who's from LA, who I guess must have went to LSU, was already talking about it in terms of the game being an event where, of course, the players do not get paid. So that's a to-be-continued action right there. But if they say, lock him up, how can they stop the crowd from doing that.
Exactly.
They can't stop. If they introduce him or if they make, if the cameras peel to this asshole coming into whatever box he's at the game, the chant will start up. How vociferously, we don't know. But if the chant goes up, that tells you everything you need to know. This guy, he thinks he's Nero. He thinks he's Nero. I'm just waiting for the little olive wreath around his head and whatnot to stand up and then raise.
May the event begin. Bring on the lions.
Yeah, they need to bring on the lions to eat his old rusty ass up. But I digress. We're talking now about a political stunt. You know, this ain't like he's a fan of college football. This is a stunt, you know? Yep.
The president only goes to the Army Navy game.
That's
only
exactly right. Yep.
Goes,
you're right. You're right.
This would be the first time a president has gone to an SEC game while he's in office. The first time ever.
You're right. I can remember when I was a little kid. And Kennedy went to the Army-Navy game. That was a big deal. You know, and then, of course, you know, as the years go on, the game takes on more prominence or less prominence based on how you are politically. But now, we're in a different, this is a different level of
exposure. Different era.
There's a lot of Benito Mussolini.
So much so
as to call him Il Douchebag instead of Il Duce. But that's what we've got. That's what we've got going on here. And now that we see this, we're going to see even more chaos come about, because it's not going to be about the game. There'll be a lot of people watching this game just to see if this fan thing happens.
It's going to be a crazy night.
It's going to be a crazy night. But now that we've gotten that out the way, it is time.
We got to do our opening, right? Get the opening. Right?
Yes, of course we have to do our opening. So please, by all means,
we got to do it correctly.
For almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN. I cannot believe it's been 3 years. It just amazes me how fast it has gone.
You're right. Time has flown by, but we have done, I believe, the best that we have been able to do in maintaining the spirit of BASN and carrying it on and moving it forward with BASN Newsroom. And I'm grateful for you and Tony and all the other brothers and sisters that have contributed. Now, I think we have to understand where this shit starts before we carry on with our next segment here. Because, as you know, recently, some asshole named Bill Polian apologized. Well, he didn't say he really apologized, but after Lamar Jackson whooped the Patriots' ass on Sunday Night Football, he finally came out of the other side of his mouth and said, well, I just used the same standard that just my quarterbacks all along. You know, it's like, in other words, I'm a racist piece of shit, and I knew he was good, but I didn't give a fuck. He needed to be a wide receiver because we don't want black quarterbacks. We want white quarterbacks. Now, some of the asinine things that came off of that was also in the mix. First, they said Lamar Jackson was too short. How the fuck can he be too short if he's 6'3"? If he's 6'3", that makes him taller than Donovan McNabb and almost everybody in the last draft class, except for Darnold, who I believe is 6'5". Baker Mayfield is just an inch taller than Russell Wilson, and we see he ain't shit. But that's a separate subject. I understand where all this crap is coming from, but if we're really going to delve into this, we have to start with somebody who went out of their way to damage someone's career. And this is a yes, sir.
Go ahead. Continue.
I'm telling you, as the Field General's music is playing in the background and the generals are gathering, we know there are things that must be discussed if we are the if the Joint Chiefs of Staff are going to carry on with what's needed to be done to correct permanently the issue of who is fit to lead. Isn't that what this is about? That's right. That's what this is about. And as we say this, leave us. Carry on. With the case of Robert Griffin III. Robert Griffin III came into the league, rocked the house. Offensive rookie of the year. Made the playoffs. While the Washington team was foundering, generated a 6-game winning streak so they'd make the playoffs. However, during that time, General Griffin was hurt, and they knew he was hurt. He ended up playing in the playoffs against General Wilson and was decimated, not so much by his own personal injuries, but by the team he worked for. The coach sabotaged his ass. Mike Shanahan screwed Robert Griffin III. And the quarterback, rather the coach, and the coach that replaced him, Jay Gruden, was even worse. We've talked about the Grudens being rednecks, and he didn't hesitate to speak on what and how he felt about Griffin when he was asked about his potential.
Well, we are following a developing story out of Redskins Park at this hour, where Robert Griffin III could be packing up at the end of the season.
That's right. Or not.
Yeah.
All right. It all depends upon which of the various reports out there you actually want to believe today. Robert Burton's here to try and sort all this out for us.
Yeah.
All right. Go for it.
So much drama. Are we surprised reports surface like this?
No.
I don't think so.
Not by now we shouldn't be.
Exactly. You got it, Rob. Well, it looks like the Jay Gruden RG3 era could be coming to a close. That's according to reports surfacing yesterday. Washington Post columnist Jason Reed writes that Gruden has seen enough to realize RG3 is a long-term project at best as a pocket passer, reading defenses, poor footwork, etc. The report also says it's not just Robert's on-field performance that Gruden doesn't like. He's concerned about Griffin's decision-making off the field as well, caring more about his brand than his performance. Meanwhile, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that RG3 will be the starter before the season is over, according to sources. Gruden addressed the media about that information on the team's website today.
You know, as a backup quarterback, you have to get yourself ready to play. I mean, that's just nature of the position. You know, Kirk did it, Colt did it. Y'all have to do it. Everybody, backup quarterback in the league, there's a chance for him to play, so I don't know why that's groundbreaking news. So it's weird that that's a big story, but backup quarterbacks need to be ready, and he will be.
Okay, so Gruden's done. Schefter says he could be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
What do we believe? It's just drama. We're used to it.
Right.
We love this stuff, right?
No,
we love it.
No.
We live for it.
No, what we love
is stability.
Yes, we
exactly.
Want a few wins to make people forget about this kind of talk.
Exactly. That's what we want. Just a normal franchise, right?
Can't
right.
We all just get along? Can't we all just move?
Now, how visceral were those statements? And on top of the can't we all just get along shit? You know, that was some fucking low action. And the
well, that's the same thing that we say for 30, 40, 50 years.
Oh, that's yeah. Their goal is to perpetuate. And that's exactly what was done here. All of this horse shit led to Robert Griffin being spirited out of Washington. Kirk Cousins being drafted was the coup de grace, because as soon as that draft hit that year, half of the talk was already about how Cousins might be better than Griffin at the position. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. The guy wins most valuable, he wins rookie of the year, and you're going to talk about how Cousins might be better when Cousins ain't even took the field. So as this thing progressed and Griffin's career was co-opted by Shanahan and Gruden, you had to wonder what was going to happen next. As our brother Tony McClain comes into the mix, let's not forget, gentlemen, Griffin threw 20 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions, and of course ran for a shitload of yards that rookie year. It was the actions of Griffin and Colin Kaepernick with their ability to run that made Jeff Fisher and his redneck ass as head of the competition committee change the rule regarding hitting quarterbacks and whether they were players or whether they were ruled null and void once they pitched the ball or did whatever the hell they did in a run pass option. So, gentlemen, assess the situation.
Michael.
Contact. Yes.
Michael, there's one play that divide the career of Robert Griffin III.
And that is?
It was a third or fourth quarter of the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no business being on the field in the first place.
Yep.
Because at halftime he had an injury. Now, any moron would have took Robert Cooper out of the game right then.
Mm-hmm.
But see, here's the problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Griffin III is a military man, raised by a military man, and in a military family.
Good point.
I was raised in a military family.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you're told when you're in a military family is you do what you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
You sacrifice yourself to get the job done.
Yep.
Robert Griffin III knew he was injured in the second quarter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yep.
but because of this asshole Shanahan,
mm-hmm.
he had to do his duty, which means duty to the team.
Sure.
Which means the end of his career. If it was anybody else, but Shanahan, Robert Griffin III third would not have played the second half of that game at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of the career because it ruined his legs.
Yes, no question. Tony, what do you think?
I second what Gary said. You know, it's a mm-hmm. shame because, and in many ways, the franchise is still recovering. That's why I was like going back and forth with putting Haskins in there, because I think mm-hmm. Haskins will be fine. But the thing is, this could very easily happen again. Now, I think the fact that Gruden is gone will help, but it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in, because I don't mm-hmm. think Callahan is going to be the guy. I'd be anxious to see what they want to happen. But again, this is what we keep talking about in regards to black quarterbacks.
Yep.
In the league, even when things are going well, but.
Mm-hmm.
But I think let's put it this way. The one good thing now, and this is what's going to be good to watch as the second half of this season unfolds. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Mr. Brissett will be out tomorrow for the Colts.
But he
should be back. But when you look at, what Russ continues to do in Seattle with what Deshaun Watson is doing in Houston, mm-hmm. Mahomes will be back tomorrow for KC.
KC.
And you got to figure at some point, I think Haskins will be fine. Unfortunately, he's going to have to be beaten down a little bit, and because of it. But not to go too far off, but have you been following this thing with Williams and the Redskins on how they're literally trying to now they're saying that they won't pay him because he quote unquote slandered them in public.
What?
Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah,
too,
they're trying. Basically, he's not going to play another game for them. He's pretty much come
right
out and said that. And if you've been following the story, they basically, he basically was playing with cancer for this team, and he was trying to reach some sort of a buyout settlement. But now Washington is not gonna claim not to pay him.
This is what's wrong with the Washington Football Club. You have an owner who's a complete jerk, right? You have a name that you should, you have a name of DC be named, and they're cheaper than you wanna be. So yeah, all three together, you got a complete mess over there, Washington DC. I mean, this is a disaster area.
What's even worse, guy? This is reflective of the league too, because
that's right.
They basically tried to say, oh, you just got a headache, you know, you'll be fine. This man had a growth in his, I guess he had a benign growth,
just like
in his head, And they basically tried to make it out like that it was nothing, and the doctor said they got it just in time. You know, if he had waited any longer, we'd be talking about the Lakers and Williams right now,
That's right.
But see, this is that other side of the NFL. Because, see, they've been putting the poison pen out on him from day one. And, see, I always, people think when they just see a guy, quote-unquote, holding out, they automatically do the knee-jerk thing of, oh, this nigga's making too much money. He should be happy with what he is. But see, there's always other circumstances. If you just look at it just for the money thing, and you miss the point. And see, that's how it's always depicted, especially in the NFL, and especially if it's a black athlete, they will always make it out like, this nigga wants money, and this he don't want to. I mean. Even Antonio Brown, in his most idiotic state, he has just as much of a right to go get his money as Williams. Williams's thing is probably a little bit more in a sense because they basically misdiagnosed him. I mean,
correct.
If that man had died, that's a class action lawsuit that could be filed against that organization. Now, remember, this is the same organization that tried to go after their fans for non-payment of freaking season tickets. This is the owner that has gone after the media for writing quote-unquote inflammatory anti-Semitic articles about him. But this would be... Unfortunately, this is par for the course for this franchise. Remember, you had a longtime owner there that said he would only get black players if the Harlem Globetrotters would get white ball
players. That's right.
So Doug Williams' history is there. He was the first black quarterback to win while wearing that jersey. But that doesn't absolve this organization of their racist history, and whether it's the name, or whether it's just their own practices on and off the field. This way, karma can be a bitch, but a lot of times it's a Redskin logo.
That's exactly right.
And that logo, I'm telling you guys. I've been watching this for the last 2-3 years.
This is a bigger problem, though.
25% in attendance last 2 years.
And they're one of the more loyal fan bases, you know, not just
very
in NFL, but in sports in general. So the fact that they basically have made their statement by not showing up to the games, that should be a red flag. But again, their whole thing is, hey, the checks are clearing. It's like, the hell with them. If they don't want to come, I'll get somebody else to come.
That's exactly right. And we bring this up because this was the first time where a front office openly conspired to ruin a quarterback, a black quarterback's career. You know, this is not a case of I never got off and got a chance to do anything. You know, I mean, we can go back to Jimmy Harris, Shaq, and what they did to him in Buffalo/San Diego. But this is a case where one coach is saying he can't do this, he can't do that, and then another coach following up with even more visceral language and actions to say that he couldn't do that and do this after he did it. Yeah. So we fast forward now to General Lamar Jackson, who recently received an apology of sorts from an asshole named Bill Polian, who's supposed to be a great talent assessor, so that he ended up in the so-called Hall of Fame. I had issues with both of those things. But these were some of the things that were tossed about as Lamar Jackson was getting his ass whipped in the press.
Whether he will ever be a good enough passer to be a winning NFL quarterback, as everyone here says, there's a lot of work to do there.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
Not only the lack of accuracy down the field, but also his slight frame.
I'm a keep on lying to you.
Yeah.
Until you think it's the truth.
He's 213, okay? Nobody makes a living in the National Football League running the football as a quarterback at 213. Right.
Why the fuck you lying?
Why
you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying. Always lying to me. You lying so much.
But in year two, Lamar has his sights set on running less and passing more, saying he'll probably throw 30 times a game. No biggie, he only did that 0 times last season.
He's a freak athlete who can throw it a mile, but is small, doesn't read coverages. He'll probably have to make it a different position.
I'm a keep on lying to you.
Yeah.
He is not a pure thrower of the ball. He pushes the ball. So I wonder, just making those tight throws in those windows, those NFL windows, college, you're open like this. In the NFL, you need about that much room to be able to squeeze the ball.
Why the fuck you lying?
Why
you always lying?
We know what a dual threat he is. Is he a great passer? No, he is not.
I'm going to keep on lying to you.
Number one. No top receiver is going to go play with Lamar Jackson.
Remember when we last saw Lamar Jackson against a real NFL team? With 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, this man had 3 completions and 25 yards passing. That's the last time with 3 fumbles.
You win. The football aficionados got questions about whether or not you've got longevity as a quarterback in the National Football League. To that, you say what?
You're going to have to see. You're going to have to see.
So, all Mike, these fans
and Mike, here's the real hypocrisy. every last one of these guys and gals that you hear on that thread now are trying to make it out like he is this not like he's bigger than life, bigger than God,
and
all this other stuff.
Wait, guys,
hold on, Gare. To me, that's the problem because see,
that's right.
They go from the whole extreme because see, and we mentioned this other night. They still look at that first half. They want to base his whole career on the first half of a playoff game in which he became. Now they won't say anything about the second half he became within one touchdown of tying the damn game.
That's right.
And all of that. But see, again, that's the whole and the pile on effect of all these black and white media members that go because me personally, I'm a Jackson's a bigger man than me. I would tell them to kiss the fattest part of my ass right now.
You ain't lying, boy. You ain't lying. All these fanboy cocksuckers. Gay guy.
Out here in California. Out here in California right now. Monday night. Here we go. Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
We have the undefeated 49ers, right? Against the field general, Russell Wilson, right?
Yep.
Now, Michael, I'm telling you, I heard so much stuff on local radio in the past 24 hours. I'm sick. I am totally sick of it. I am sick of what they're doing. I'm sick of what they're saying.
You know what I always say, you can't do, you gotta turn them off because
that's right.
But what happens if Russell Wilson loses, but I doubt if he loses my night, they're gonna try to gap it again.
These guys and gals are as predictable as an S.D. Jones wrestler. We all know which way to go. And see, here's the thing. After watching the Niners the last couple of weeks, this is a good little team. I actually like what they're doing because they're actually doing it old school by running the ball. And Garoppolo's all right. I mean, he's not, I'm not going to.
All right.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, but see, it's funny. Now, him and Jacoby Brissett are basically, quote-unquote, disciples of the Patriots.
Yes.
True.
Now, Jimmy Garoppolo was able to get, an obscene amount of money before he even put together double digits in
wins.
In starts. Not even just wins. I'm not even going to concede the wins thing yet. But here is Jacoby Brissett, who actually played well last year in a backup role and has played well in a backup role and has played well when he's been given the opportunity to have his new when they basically have handed the keys to the offense to him. And once Oliver Luck, basically got retired this year, people were like, oh, the Colts are done. Well, wait a minute. He's a disciple of the Patriots. Why can't he's not all that good. One of the reasons why I said that they'll win the division was strictly because of his body of work. And see, here's the thing. And I know I sound like a broken record because I basically said this Wednesday.
No, but you're right.
One of the reason why after watching that playoff game with Lamar last year, I said, you know what? This kid's going to be a Pro Bowler at the very least because he was going to have an entire – see, remember, he took over at midseason because they were somewhat desperate. And they didn't really gear the offense. They just sort of go out there and make plays, Lamar, for the most part.
Exactly.
And he did that and more, and that's why they won the division. And yes.
What cracks me up about all of this is that his dismantling of the Patriots by calling his game the way he wanted to was embarrassing. So embarrassing that Polley had to say something.
Exactly.
He was winning games, but he hadn't won the game. You know, you're going to go against the Dark Lord Belichick and the Patriots, and he didn't just squeak by. They annihilated them. I would contend if the punt that came to the Raven player, I can't remember his name, but he was number 27, had he not fumbled that punt and allowed the Patriots to get off, this would have been a fucking rout.
Yeah.
I shit you not. He had everybody off stride, and the fact that with the three tight end offense, he was really running the veer. He was just using bigger people. That's all. He was. You didn't have a bunch of swift runners and all that. You had three behemoths at tight end who were clearing serious field. And then somebody had the nerve to come up and say, "Well, you know, there's a tell on Jackson. When he wipes the towel, he's going to run the pass, and if he doesn't, he's going to throw the pass." All that bullshit. They were looking for stuff, and they had to try to justify, well, there's something else to remind you that this is just a fluke, and he's not going to do this again. Oh, yes, he will.
Remember, after week one, they said, well, it was against Miami. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, they're only lost. You know, they lost to the Browns at home.
Yeah.
And that was basically only his really bad game for the most part. And even in that game, he wasn't, like, terrible. It was, you know, they fell behind and what have you. And that's going to happen. But see, here's the thing. With the black quarterbacks and all that, they're not even afforded the opportunity to have a bad half, or to what have you, therein lies so much of the racial double standard that we see that goes on here, and that's the thing that's probably one of the most bothersome things here, because look, at the end of the day, It's not anything like, you know, sparkling. I mean, the veer's been used before in both college and pro football, but see,
that's true.
Here's the thing. In most people's eyes, they don't look at the quarterback as being a playmaker. And
no, exactly.
If you are
white man has never coached the quarterback position for that. Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. You know, their whole play, you know, they see, it's a thing of a trust, and also it's just, you know, the quote unquote, well, we've done it this way for so long. And
exactly.
You know,
at
some point, you know, doesn't that speak more of the game than it does these guys?
Thank you.
And I'm trying not to go into a long spiel here, but it needs to be said. When we always go back about BASN, you know, talking about the black athlete has always innovated and imitated.
That's true.
And has always innovated a game he or she has played, and then they become folks who are imitated. Now, let's face it, we've seen this before, whether it was James Harris, whether it was Marlon Briscoe, whether it was J.J. Jones, whether it was, you know, Joe Gilliam or what have you. We're not seeing anything new for the most part.
That's right.
The difference now the differences now are speed and how the way the game is played, because see, again, it's smash mouth football. You beat up their guys till basically by the time the fourth quarter comes, they just want to be like, "Can I just go home now?" Because
I don't want no more of this, Mom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's basically sustainable, and again. When you realize that this is the quote unquote 100th anniversary of this freaking league, by all means, it should be recognizing that. Because that's basically what they're like. You know, again, I fall back on the Niners.
That's right.
The Niners basically are giving you a good mixture of run and pass.
That's right.
The league has become such a thing now where they literally want to try to. I think one of the main reasons why the league is trying to basically get rid of the running back is backlash for what Fisher tried to do with the rules. They want to try to get rid of the quarterback in an indirect way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And because of that, the apology falls right. let's just say it has no weight whatsoever. Here, again, is an assessment of Jackson's skills as translated by us, because I don't want to give the impression that we are biased in this situation.
Polian, appearing on ESPN Radio, said that Lamar Jackson is an exceptional athlete, check, exceptional ability to make you miss, exceptional acceleration, exceptional instinct with the ball in his hand, and should change to becoming a wide receiver.
I am the epic fail.
Why? Why would you have to change to becoming a wide receiver? Because according to Bill Polian, he's too short. Need I remind you that Lamar Jackson is 6'3". That's 3 full inches taller than Drew Brees. That's 4 full inches taller than Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson is incredibly athletic, gifted from a speed, agility, athleticism standpoint. But here's the thing. We don't know if he can catch the football. But from Polian's standpoint, well, you know, he runs a lot, so he should probably become a wide receiver. What? What? He's 6'3". He's not too short. Polian, in trying to make his point, said he shouldn't wait until he's 29 like that kid from Ohio State. Oh, you mean Terrell Pryor? He's got a name. And, oh, by the way, Terrell Pryor made that switch at 26. And if Lamar Jackson is also drafted in the first round, why would you tell him, don't get drafted in the first round? You don't want all that money. You should switch to wide receiver and get drafted in the fifth round as a project. That'd be way better for your career. What kind of stupid analysis is that? What kind of old, ridiculous, out-of-touch, uneducated analysis is that? Lamar Jackson won the Heisman Trophy. He's on a backup on Utah State. Do some research. Lamar Jackson's too short. He's 6'3". I mean, come on. Come on. How tall is Tom Brady? Can you Google me that right now? He's too short. He's at worst a second-round draft pick. Tom Brady's 6'4". An inch shorter, he'd be too short to play quarterback in the NFL. Right, Bill? Come on. You're going to tell a kid that's going to get drafted in the first or second round as a quarterback, switch positions right now before you get drafted, because you don't want all that money. Aaron Rodgers is 6'2", too short apparently to play quarterback in the NFL, according to Bill Polian. Come on. There is going to be a rash of stupid analysis, and you will know it when you see it. But I expect a little bit better from a guy that's a friggin' Hall of Famer. I mean, he assembled Super Bowl teams. But lazy, stupid analysis. Too short. Switch to wide receiver. Yeah, you wouldn't want to be drafted in the first round as a quarterback. You'd much rather be a project wide receiver taken in the fifth. Stupid. Dumb. Stupid. Like, it's so cliche, it can't even be real. Lamar Jackson, I don't know. He runs a lot. He should probably be a wide receiver. Why? He's too short or something. Nope, it's not. He's not going to get drafted high. No, he will. I don't know. Terrell Pryor, that kid from Ohio State didn't do it. What? Thanks.
Yeah, what indeed. So pick up on everything that was said by one Damon Amendola. You know, I've heard Amendola before, and he's like, that's all I'm most shit. But I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he's not a talking head. He's not a fanboy. And that's important here because, again, all of the shit that was said by Pullman and all those acolytes who were following the party line by the mouse, the rat, and all the other fucking vermin that were around this subject, Lamar Jackson is 6'3 and 213. He's taller than Aaron Rodgers. He's taller than Drew Brees. He's definitely taller than Baker Mayfield. And they never said anything about his height coming in. Well, they were like, well, he's 6 feet, but, you know, and the but is always on the positive side of the coin. You know, if they say, well, Gary Norris great at 6 feet, but we don't want Gary's black ass in this league. We ain't paying him that kind of money. And that's exactly what they were saying about Lamar Jackson. And now that all this damage has been done by General Jackson with his scorched earth campaign through the AFC North, holding the sides, now it's time for me to pull my bitch card and say, I was wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
Big fucking deal. Now, I would suggest, while he's in apology mode, he needs to also apologize to Jim Caldwell. Now, Jim Caldwell is working on Miami staff, but Jim Caldwell was 62-50 as the head coach in fucking Detroit, of all places, working with Matthew Stafford's Dead Row Jazz, of all people. And still, he's the only coach that I know since Bobby Lane who has a winning record as a coach in Detroit and still wasn't enough and they got rid of his blanket ass. And remember, he also went 14-0 as the Colts head coach. But in spite of winning more games in his first year as a coach than anyone else in the NFL had ever, of course, the statement was, well, you know, he's really not coaching because Peyton Manning, he's a coach on the field. The fuck out of here with that noise. And this is the kind of shit that Pullman and his ilk have stirred. Now,
Mike, let's be very clear. This isn't the first. We know that this isn't the first black quarterback that's been told, you know, you need to play wide receiver.
Or hell.
We saw with Eldridge Dickey. But see, think of some of the other black quarterbacks over the years that have tried to have a sip of coffee or what have you in the NFL, whose careers were turned away, literally and figuratively, because you just can't play. We're just not gonna have, you know. I always think, see, it's not so much about the Doug Williamses or the Marlon Briscoes, but see, I think of guys like Casey Printers. I think of the kid at TCU. I think of guys like Joe 747 Adams. I think of Bruce Eugene from Grambling. Guys who put up gaudy ass numbers, but here's the funny thing with Eugene. Eugene to this day, I believe, is either the second or third Freudian slip, quarterback in the history of the Wunderlich to have a perfect score.
He did.
But was never given the opportunity.
He's too smart. We can't give that nigga any money. He's too smart.
Exactly.
Well, they used that excuse for Myron Rowe, and he was only playing corner and safety. But Eugene was a quarterback, and that he came from a pedigree like Grambling, it definitely upset some folks because they couldn't alibi their way out of why they wouldn't pick Eugene. And it's kind of course, size does matter. But what did you do to Matt Reed? Matt Reed was taller than Harris, probably had a stronger arm, and you never got a chance to see him because he was in Denver and he wasn't even going to get that cup of coffee. They wouldn't even put the sugar cube in the cup. So this is a big problem,
He was getting the Chris Rock treatment. Oh, just pour it in my hand just a little bit.
That's right. Just pour it in my hand. Yeah. And because of that, now they're trying to say that Pullman died for your sins. No, he's a piece of shit. And in that clip, you heard Stephen A. Smith and all the other scumbags say disparaging things about Jackson, but they suck in his dick now, which is what they do. being duplicitous as they are, trying to ride coattails. Now, if Tom Brady's time is done and they can't cheat enough to justify keeping the Patriots in the game, then you know the NFL has a huge problem because they really don't want to see a Super Bowl, even though there was one before with Dungy and Smith. But, you know, Lovey and Dungy played by the rules. You know, they were very nondescript. They weren't type A personalities like, say, McClendon in baseball. You know, So it wasn't going to be one of them deals that they were going to get any kind of stirring or uprising from the natives. But how all this is shaping out in the so-called 100th year, the NFL will spin in its progress. But we know the NFL was behind stuffing it in the first place.
You know what, Mike? Maybe I'm being silly. Maybe I'm whatever. But you know what? Maybe not this year. But I think the NFL will come around at some point. And again, I'm willing to admit being being more Pollyanna and Heidi and Leo Buscaglia all rolled into one here. But I think because again, because of what's coming up in the horizon. You know they're going to lord up Mr. Lawrence from Clemson. Hell,
that's right.
Hell, if they could have gotten away with having him leave after 1 year this year, they would have. But
that's
between
true.
Hurts and Tua and all these other kids that are in HBCUs and in other places, the brothers are going to be here. They're not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And what they
no,
oh,
well,
that.
It's what, very obvious. When you have four teams in first place, two teams in second place. That's all you need to know.
At the end of the day, they want to win. Now, the league, the reason why the league, I think, is sheepish to do this is because, let's be honest, Kaepernick backlash. They still haven't come to grips with the fact that they went out of their way to blackball this guy.
Yes, they did.
And now they're gonna have to embrace one of these kids as the face of the league very soon. This is beyond eating crow. This is beyond everything, because see, it goes against anything and everything that they basically have been pushing as part of their agenda over the last, dare I say it, 75, 80 of those 100 years.
This could be done very quickly.
Here's the thing, Gary. The fans, I just put it this way, whether it's directly or indirectly, I think the fans will dictate what winds up happening here. Now, yes, you have fan bases that still will play the, well, I'm not comfortable with a black quarterback. But see, I look at fan bases like Washington. I look at fan bases like Jacksonville. I look at fan bases like the Chargers, whoever their three fans are scattered around the United States. But see, at the end of the day, they want to win. They want to win. You know, they're tired of, you know, they're tired of basically having to prepare for the draft in September. They're tired of basically, you know, just being that perpetual kicking dog. I'm looking at you, New Jersey Jets. So sorry, Gary. If you get your mail from New Jersey, if your facility is in New Jersey,
You're in New fucking Jersey,
not New York, okay? And that goes for them red, white, and blue idiots that they share room and rent with as well. But I digress. But no, it's not going to happen this year. It probably won't happen. I think gradually. I mean, we're still unfortunately going to have to be talking about, you know, the NFL and its black quarterback problem, unfortunately. But I think maybe at some point it may not be as blatant as it is, because again, you've got fan bases that are just tired of, you know, they, I mean, it's like network. They're mad as hell and they're tired of, and they don't want to take it anymore.
Now,
this could be very easily. Number one, Roger Goodell got a press conference. And I know I'll never do this, but he had a press conference and publicly apologized to Colin Kaepernick, which needs to be done publicly.
Does a Gary?
Knowing the NHL, it now never happened.
Gary, there's a better chance. There's a better chance of Rusty Staub going from first to third in 4.5 seconds.
That's a visual.
Yeah.
Well, you made it by Ben.
Yeah.
You're right about
that. And this was when he was dead or alive, because it's just not going to – I mean, let's put it this way. They're going to have to come to grips with themselves at some point.
Yes.
Because, in a sense, basically, Polian was speaking in code when he was doing a terrible impersonation of Alibi Ike the other day.
Exactly. That's
because
right, he was. He's traditional mindset. He knew what traditional mindset meant. We didn't want no niggas playing quarterback. Simple as that. Come on now.
Exactly. And see, again, the 100th year anniversary should be an examination of how this league has evolved over the years. And see, here's the one thing the league has to get over. The quarterback can be your best playmaker, you know?
That's right.
And there's absolutely positively nothing wrong with it. Absolutely positively nothing wrong with it, because it's part of the evolution of the game. Because, see, again,
right.
I don't want to sound like a broken, but I think it needs to be emphasized. You're celebrating 100 fucking years of your sport.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're still trying to – And you're still, you know, you still haven't innovated anything.
That's exactly right. You don't want to innovate anything. Tony, they're stuck in the same status quo prison that society is.
Mike, they're no worse than them folks in Selma. 1, 2, 3, 2, 4, 6, 8. We don't want to integrate. 2, 4. I mean,
that's right.
They're no different. They're no different from them folks.
It is a very sophisticated version of racism, shielded with the impression of progress, because, well, now you have a black man that can play quarterback. Get the fuck out of here. The real thing that's burning in my butt here is the fact that this motherfucker will skate and say what he said. When he said traditional mindset, that means he dropped a dime on everybody else, all these redneck owners in the league, all the redneck front office people that would not dare to give a black man the chance to play quarterback. And Eldridge Dickey embodies all of those aspects. Al Davis, who's supposed to be this progressive, couldn't stand the fact that Eldridge was clearly better than Ken Stabler. And if Stabler was good enough to get in the Hall of Fame, what the fuck did that say about Dickey?
What damage was done to him?
And he couldn't keep his own mouth shut with his own team. He had to go infiltrate the damn Steelers and fuck with Joe Gilliam on top of that.
And Gilliam had earned his spot just like Dickey. He beat everybody else out that needed to be beat, and best man was supposed to play. And that's where the fact that both quarterbacks had them spiraled mentally, because they felt they were playing by the same rules, and they didn't realize that the rules were twisted from Jump Street. So we bring all of this stuff, and then we got to look at today and see, well, what's missing? What are they not saying? What they're not saying is these brothers are making the fans a lot of money. You know, General Wilson, 22 touchdowns, one interception, four comebacks, four fourth quarter comebacks in the little bit of season that he's playing now, just this season alone. Jackson, how much money did Jackson win when he beat the Patriots, and not just beat them, but crushed them by 17? Are you kidding me?
I haven't screamed that loud since I saw Edwin Diaz pitch a couple weeks back.
I'm like Doug Williams in the Super Bowl there. Hit his ass again.
Yes, I'm telling you,
if the kid hadn't fumbled, it would have been fair to say that Baltimore would have had an opportunity to go 24-0 in the half.
They would have likely shut the door. The score, the old cliche, the score was not indicative of the ass whooping that they received. It was, that's the thing. See, I think that's the thing because let's face it, the league has been trying to force feed and intravenously feed everyone the Patriots for the last 4 or 5 years. I would rather have maple laced with hashish than have to deal with that bullshit.
That's a good one. I would try that. I want my maple.
Exactly. Exactly. I was gonna say cod liver oil, but I didn't want to have people listen on the thread just start losing their lunch. But I digress. But that's the thing. See.
Yeah.
We already knew going in that the Patriots were a paper lion anyway, but this just reinforced it. This was an ass whooping that they couldn't hide.
You ain't lying.
I mean, even Stevie and Ray was like, damn, they kicked their ass, didn't they?
I know that's right. What I say, yes. And if you look at what the league is trying to do to salvage it, you can see that the Giants are failing because their first-round draft choice has thrown more interceptions than anybody right now. The Jets are failing because their first-round draft choice, apparently somebody plays Ghostbusters and he's running and hiding because he is afraid of those ghosts.
I think he's more Rockwell than he is.
He feels like he's running.
I think he's more Rockwell without Barry Gordy to save his ass in
exactly. Yeah, and now you also have Baker Mayfield failing humongously in Cleveland.
Another reason again to confirm that Cleveland is the mistake by the lake.
Remember that really bad Billy Bob Thornton movie, Mr. Woodcock?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he looks just like him at that last press conference, man.
Sure did.
If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm doing the NFL for nation.
The reason why he can't sue and he won't sue is because he bought into the whole shit.
That's exactly right.
He's already at the doing shitty commercials stage of his career. And again, I reiterate, tell that bitch to go get her own straw. But that's a whole other story.
In and of itself.
But he bought into it, and now he's got to deal with it. Here's the thing, he bought into his own shit. He tried to make it out like he was, whatever, and he forgot the one. Him and Michael Sam found out real quickly, you still got to play.
There you go.
If you want, you can have all the attention up the ass, but if you can't play, it doesn't matter.
I got to go to the golf. I got to get out of here.
Sir. Give us a preview, Gene.
Willie Taggart of Florida State University was fired this week.
Yes.
I've been a Florida State fan for years. This was not uncalled for. This was premeditated. I am furious at Florida State right now.
Two years
to get a program, and this program was already a disaster to begin with.
Should Deion even be thinking about trying to?
I would go right there.
That was the rumor.
Apparently, to quote you, Mike, apparently there is some meat in that sandwich.
Yes.
But I would not go anywhere near Florida State right now.
Yeah, I'd, if I'm Deion, I'd stay away from it. Now I know his ego probably says, yeah, I could do it. And you know what? I don't think he would be on the bat if he's surrounded by the right people.
But the biggest problem is, are they gonna give him a chance?
Florida
State has an old school mentality, the old Southern mentality. I would not go anywhere near the school now.
Yeah. You know, it's ironic that Oregon is in the top 10 or 15. Meanwhile, Willie's out of a job. It's easy hindsight. I remember when he took the job, I was like, boy, I hope he's doing the right thing because I really felt like he left a better situation.
Yes, he did. He did
in Tallahassee.
He did. But they also have to pay him out. So he's got $20 million to think about what he's going to do next. And I ain't mad at him for that. But, G, we'll see you at the top of the hour. And we'll continue the discourse on the cold.
I'm gonna have to break out soon too, Mike. But go ahead.
No problem, brother. I just wanted to get your assessment now because we started this, and the ones that are left in terms of the quarterbacks that the league is trying to push, you know, there's fatal. The fatal flaws, obviously, they're just not that talented, and the people who are trying to promote the 100th year, how do they spin this? They've got nothing to work with other than the ghost of past. And even Jennifer Sumner is like, they can't play, they suck. So he ain't coming back to resolve the problem either. So what's their next move?
You know what? I go back to what I just said. They don't have a next move. They're going to have to accept it. They're going to have to accept it because, again, I think the fans – will dictate. Now, granted, the NFL has never done anything to listen to their fans, unless there was some money involved on their end. But I think in this instance, they're gonna have to put it this way. They're gonna have to be like that rat that eats onions, crying and cussing, because there's no way. This is just the beginning wave. There's a whole new wave coming now in football, in the game, and they're just gonna have to accept it. But see, here's the thing: if they accept it, it's gonna make the league even more popular. Look, you gotta appeal to them in their wallets. That's basically the only thing that they listen to. And this is going to do nothing but help the league. I do think at some point, they're going to have to address the Kaepernick issue at some point. Yep. I mean, I know they feel like in their mind's eye, it's done. You know, they gave him his, you know,
basically sovereigns pay, and they moved on from it. But a lot of the fans have not. And see, if you do want to get these, the black fans that you have alienated, this is the best way, by putting it out there on the field. Because look, if nothing else, for the rest of this season and the coming seasons, there's going to be brother man matchups that not only are just novelties, it's going to become part of the league, and the league needs to embrace that. Even if they do it gritting their teeth, the league needs to embrace it, because you're embracing your future. Because look,
that's exactly right.
They're still going to push the white boys anyway. We know that.
Of course,
you better start embracing these kids, because they are the future. They're the future of your league, whether you want to admit to it or not.
There you go. That puts it in. That definitely encapsulates it all. But quickly, do you think you'll hear "Lock Him Up" at the LSU Alabama game tonight?
Oh, see, he's going to be there tonight too.
Oh yeah.
Oh sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, push away. Since it's I forget. Is tonight's game in Death Valley or is it in Tuscaloosa?
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, he'll probably hear a few, but unfortunately, he'll probably have some bubbas that'll be willing to shake a hand and have an orangeade with him too, though. So it'll be mixed. But I'm sure he'll hear some "Lock Him Up." He should. I mean, if half of this stuff is here's the thing. I guess now they're saying Giuliani may pull a Sammy the Bull on his ass.
Oh, no. Right. Well, if a lawyer who knows the law knows he's got to drop dime in order to save his hide, that tells you just how big bastardly this thing is going to be.
Exactly. All right, Michael.
All right, my brother. Thank you for chiming in. We will see you later. And, of course, at the top of the hour, Gary on Square and the Great Liver Cove will be in effect. So we will take two steps to the rear and get out of here ourselves. We're setting it up for Pat Freeman and Pro Talk and the second part of this great interview with Earl O'Farrey Hutchinson. For all of us here at the Tree, we'll see you Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Mind Stream. Once again, thanks for taking the time to check us out. It's cold out here, y'all. So go safe, stay safe, and be safe.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed. Being as young as I am, you know. We all don't want to say nothing else, but we say as young as we are. Now I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now the educators, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross other side of the pond call it vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is and what it is. What it is and what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother. You take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand, hey, I know what it means. Being 9 years old before I got my first pair of underwear out of a store. You know, putting on a half press suit from the pawn shop with tennis shoes. Trying to be hip, so I know where it's coming from. Like the fella say, having catfish head stew. And look like the catfish went in there with his head and come out very quick and didn't leave nothing else. That's one thing the educators and the politicians and the establishment got to remember. Now, brothers need jobs. If you don't work, you can't eat. If you don't work, you can't eat. Get hip to yourself, good start, my brother, and get it from the street. If you don't work, you can't eat. This, you don't work, Lord. You can't eat. So you got to have mind power to deal with starvation. And that's what we're dealing with. You see, we can't go back to the biblical stories. Two loaves of bread. Or two little fishes, five loaves of bread. Two little fishes, yeah. Five loaves of bread. Now look here, too many brothers to go by that. Now I want your brothers to dig where we're coming from. Set your mind right here. Dig the JBE experience. I dug this from a young man out of New York. He said the GBE. The GBE. Now we want to take it to the JBE. The JBE experience. And Fred, brother, brother, lay it on me, lay it. Mind power.
All right.
ain't it fucking not? That love power, fucking robot. That mind power, JB. Meanwhile, back to the ranch. Let's talk about the things what that we deal with each and every day. Now horns, now horns. Let's tell everybody what it is and what it is. 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 You can't change it. Don't try to change it. Deal with it. Don't fool yourself. Look in the mirror. You find you can't fool yourself. You gotta deal with it. What it is. What it is. Tell me. Deal with it. What it is. Wait a minute. Look here. I believe we should go back to the top. I want to go back to the beginning. Because I let your old Morgan play them funky sticks over there. Now we'll build it up a little bit and we'll tell them what it is and what it is. 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 Give me some horns. What it is and what it is. What it is and what it is. Give me a taste. Hit me. I want to go way back there. To the top. Way back there.